So honored to have a moment with you. We're just continuing this series called Beyond. I want to encourage you to grab your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 10. Everybody needs to have a Bible in their hands. So if you didn't bring one, there should be one under the chair in front of you. So it's important for you to be able to investigate. And we'll jump to a couple of other places, but and we'll put those on the screen. But we always want our primary text to be in your hands. And so we encourage you in that. Today, I'm going to address one of the hardest concepts that there is in the scriptures. I don't take it lightly, but when we talk about what is beyond, the concept of heaven is exciting and glorious, exhilarating, elicits wonder and awe and mystery. But when it comes to eternal separation, what we know as hell, it is heavy and it's weighty. And it requires us to open our hearts to what the Father wants to say to us. There are lots of conceptions of hell, what it is, what it isn't. But I do know it is impossible to ignore from the scriptures. It is important for us to have our hearts and minds around this truth that we see from Scripture. It's impossible to get away from it if for no other reason than Jesus himself taught extensively about this future reality. In fact, of all the teachers, poets, songwriters, prophets, apostles, in all the Scripture, Jesus taught about hell more than any other person. He had more to say about this issue than anyone else. So we must let our hearts come open to what he wants to say to us. He expressed with more clarity and understanding what eternal separation from his Father means. And the question is, why does he share more than anyone else? Because his purpose in coming was to save us from it. And I'll just start by saying you can be saved from this future reality in him. And before we even get into the word, I recognize and understand that there have been some painful ways in which eternal separation, of which hell or Hades has been communicated, especially through the church. The church has used hell often as a means of obedience, as in you better obey or else. Hell has often been used to manipulate people to conversion, meaning turn or burn. The idea or the reality of hell has become synonymous often with religious fear-mongering, and yet that is not the heart that we will find in the scripture. What we're going to do this morning is we're just going to let his words care for us, encourage us, bring truth to us about what it means to be eternally separated from the Father. So we're just going to look at his words this morning. In Matthew 25 alone, Jesus tells three separate parables. He gives three distinct, unique story pictures to help people get their minds around this. And he uses significant language. He says, there will be some who are cast into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In one of the parables, he says, some will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So these are the words of Jesus. And we so often are so treasuring of the grace and glory and mercy of God, but we must stand up under the weight of his righteous glory, his holiness forever. And Jesus was trying to help us. So we're going to sit under his words, not mine. No angry preacher here. So I got a stool to just make sure I don't do heavy pacing. Not going after the secular humanist perspective or the conservative or liberal theologian. We're just going to look at Jesus' words regarding this reality. If you were here with us over the last couple of weeks, one of the things that we have said is that all humanity is eternal. If you are here breathing, you're human, you're made in God's image, you will go on for eternity, all of us, either unto eternal life or unto eternal separation from God. And what we're going to see here is, as we look at Jesus' words, there is a shepherd who is asking us to trust him and come home to him. Now, the context for our verse, our scripture this morning in Matthew 10, Jesus is talking to his disciples, his followers, all who will come after him, and he's getting honest about the harder parts of having faith, of believing and trusting. And he's telling them really glorious concepts like, you will be hated, you will be persecuted for following me and trusting me. It's what everyone wants to hear when they say, you bet, we'll go. And he says, there will be those who will want to harm you, even kill you for following me. And while you and I have not experienced that reality, here in heaven, we gather freely to worship. Oh, I'm sorry, here in, I called heaven, here in Franklin. I'm sorry, Franklin, heaven, it's all the same. Sorry. While we have not experienced that kind of persecution here in Franklin, we're not very far removed from even very recent stories in Iran where they are killed for saying, I will follow Jesus. It happens all over the earth. It happens every day. And so Jesus is being honest about that truth. And in Matthew chapter 10, it's on the heels of saying, following me has a cost. He wants to make us aware of the eternal cost of being apart from following him. Matthew 10, 26. So have no fear of those who can kill you or take your life, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on housetops. What he's saying is, what I'm telling you here in private will ultimately be your message out loud. In other words, teach and preach and share this truth with the world. Say it out loud. Verse 26. And do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you who are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Now, Jesus is asking them to carry this truth that they will share. And he's going to three times in this text alone say, do not fear. In other words, I'm talking about eternal separation from God. But I'm not appealing to fear of eternal separation. I'm saying, be sober and awake and come find your home with me. In other words, he's saying there's a Father who is so good. He sees all things. You have such value, and he is inviting you to be with him. The sparrows fall all the time. God's aware of all of it. He knows all the number of the hairs on your head. But he's caring for you. And all of these teachings, he's leading us to hear the heart of God. I care for you. The Father cares for you. Turn your hearts to me. In other words, God is not eager to eternally punish people. Rather, he's pleading, come out of it. Come out of darkness and into light with me. That's the context for which Jesus is speaking about this horrific eternal reality. God's not trying to scare people. God's faithfully reaching to save people. Come home. And church, that's good news. If you've grown up in the church, you've heard the term or read the term gospel. It's the Greek word for good news. What is the good news? Well, the good news is in relation to the bad news. Meaning good news isn't really good news unless you know what the bad news is, right? It's spring break. Did you know that the high for Tuesday, the high temperature is 33 degrees? 33 degrees. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is that's the forecast for Duluth, Minnesota. Good news is you live in Franklin, Tennessee, where it'll be like 76 degrees on Tuesday, all right? The bad news is always bad in relation to the good news. Good news in relation to the bad news. Our bad news is our default station in life is that we are from sin, utterly separated from God. We from the beginning have turned our backs on God. And Jesus isn't trying to scare us. Jesus is seeking to awaken any and every person who will listen. That's what he is doing. He isn't a fearmonger, but he's dead serious about revealing the righteousness and the holiness of his Father. He is serious about helping humanity know how badly we have sinned, how badly we have made a mockery of the beauty and the glory and the majesty, the holiness of God. How every sin, no matter how big or how small, is a decision to find our delight and our treasure in something that is lesser and futile and empty. We have offended the glory of God. We have been unjust and wrong in calling what is right and good and holy garbage. We have time and time again literally chosen slavery over God. We watched it in Israel. We have lived it ourselves. The anthem of humanity apart from God is, we don't care about your ways. We look at that which is infinitely glorious and beautiful and say, no thanks. I'll choose me. It's what Romans chapter 1 says so powerfully and so succinctly. We exchanged the glory of the Creator for the creation. We loved ourselves over the goodness of God, and we'd rather be enslaved to gods of our own fashioning. And we aren't any different apart from God. We'll worship money and set our hearts and hopes on what we can acquire. We will worship sex, and we will make our own ideas and laws about sexuality. We will worship power and influence and popularity and treasure what we can achieve by our mighty deeds. We will worship comfort and excess and abuse good gifts on this earth. Even with our beautiful families, we will worship spouses as the supreme answer to our loneliness, or we'll worship our kids and turn them into little gods, trying to satisfy their every whim. We have in every arena of life, we'll worship sports and music and movies and video games and entertainment as our supreme source of joy and 10,000 other things. The greatest idol, of course, of all of the things is the one that we look at in the mirror, where we say, my way. Each of those things gets to hold, it has held a place in our hearts. We've all chosen these things above the beauty and the purity, the holiness of God. All of humanity has treated God this way, but on an eternal scale that we cannot comprehend. It's so commonplace in the world around us that we easily forget. We all, preacher included, deserve punishment. We all have deserved judgment. As Romans 3 reminds us, we all have gone astray. There is none righteous, no, not one. And this sin of idolatry of ourselves demands justice. Now, let's talk about justice. Because everyone demands justice all the time, from the littlest things to the largest things. Amazon sends you a package that is beat to heck. You demand them to fix it, don't you? We get justice. And when we hear the most vile things that happen across the earth, it makes your blood boil, doesn't it? When someone is trafficked, little girls, and that figure is caught, your blood boils. It should. We demand justice. We all feel the weight of justice. Where does justice come from? It comes being made in the image of our Creator, who is just. The one who is perfectly just requires justice. Appropriate, righteous anger rises up against injustice. And so this becomes the critical question when it comes to this issue of eternal separation or this issue of hell. And because we often will ask the question, I can't believe in a God who sends people to suffer this way. What kind of loving God is filled with wrath? Beloved, we all are. When it comes to justice and what is right, any loving person, anyone who has true love is all filled with wrath at times. A book, Hope Has Its Reasons by Rebecca Pippert, she writes this, think how we feel when we see someone we love ravaged by unwise actions or relationships. Do we respond with benign tolerance as we might towards strangers? Far from it. Anger isn't the opposite of love. Hate is, and the final form of hate is indifference. If someone you loved and treasured was harmed, hurt. The most hate-filled thing you could do was to not care at all. And make no mistake, God is not indifferent about you, about me. He is not indifferent. You matter. And the good news here, God does not want you separated from him. And more than that, God has made a way. He's made a way. He isn't looking to put you in hell. He is screaming to the world, come out of it. Come home to how you were always meant to be. Glorious and alive with me, you can have this. God is shouting from his word and through his creation and from his actions in sending his son and now through his church, I do not want you to perish. You have violated my glory, but I do not want you to be separated from me. For God so loved you that he sent his one and only son. For whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting, glorious life. This is the gospel. We have all broken the glory, or in our brokenness, come against the glory of God, yet he's made a way. Ezekiel 18 says, have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God? And not rather that he should turn from his way and live? God isn't wringing his hands in delight to separate people from him. He will in righteousness vindicate his holiness by judging that which separated people from him. He will in righteousness judge that which separated us from him, which is sin. And he's saying, don't be separated. I've made a way. But even more than that, hell isn't just the expression of our offense against a holy God. It's not just the measure of our broken character and our indifference toward God, although those things are true. Hell is actually the measure with which we know how deeply loved we are by God because he endured hell in order to save us. He went through the full judgment of the Father. Hell is not just the measure of God's anger against all sin. It shows how radical he is in love for us. It is the measure with how serious he is in his heart concerning us. He was willing to endure voluntarily so that we might be with him. Jesus' body was destroyed in the worst possible way. But hear this, that was a flea bite compared to what was happening to his soul when he cried out, God had forsaken him. He was experiencing hell himself. Jesus took our hell. He took our forsakenness, he took our sin, past and present and future, on himself, separated from the Father, so that you and I don't have to be. He took it all. It's a powerful thing, forsakenness. You have a stranger that comes up and says, I don't want to see your face again. You're like, good luck, bruh. You have a father or a mother or a son or a daughter or a friend say that they don't want to see you anymore. You feel that. What did the father have with the son eternally to experience the turning of the father away from him? It was hell. It was painful. He took our punishment and he gave us his beauty. Jesus on the cross demonstrates the radical love of God for you and me. And it says, I'll go to hell for you. I'll stand under my own righteous requirement and I'll do it for you. I'm asking you to trust me, follow me, believe in me, and you can have everlasting life. I will take hell for you. Jesus loves you more than you will ever know. He was more honest about the Father's love for you than any teacher. He was more honest about the Father's holiness than any teacher. He was more honest about the just heart of God to punish evil. But over all the things, Jesus was honest about the lengths with which he was willing to go so that you and I could be with him. And he took all kinds of messy people and redeemed them. He looked at the woman caught in adultery, looked at the woman at the well. Those were had sexual impurity. And what did he say? Well, you're probably going to hell now. No, he said, I forgive you. Go and live full. Sin no more, alive with me. He looked at the worst people in his own culture, the dishonest, the treacherous, the notorious, the most rejected group of people, and said, there's a Father in heaven who will just forgive you. He'll forgive you. He will open his heart to you. You've made a mess of your life. You can have your whole life restored. Not just now, but forever. He came to show us the Father's heart. And he showed us the Father loves you. Sin is serious. Our sin has separated us from God. But the Father has so loved, he made a way. And so he willfully and painfully, and the scripture says, joyfully submitted to the Father and went to hell for you and me. And he went through supernatural death and separation and rejection, not for his sin, but for ours. And he went into the torment of hell. And because he was the spotless lamb, he took the keys of death and hell. And by the power of the Father, rose from the dead, and he came out alive and victorious. And he stands at the door of our hearts and says, I gave my life so that you could have it. And if anyone will turn from their own way and come to me, I will give you what you have always longed for, hoped for, fullness, eternal life. That is what a truly loving God does. He endures the penalty of his own holy justice so that we can be with him. And that is the call. That's the invitation. To believe and trust, to be restored. And every one of us can have that, has access to that. and your friends and family members. This is what Jesus was trying to bring us to, wholeness with him. So we're just gonna finish this morning with an opportunity just to let our hearts be free with the Lord, to take a moment to connect with him so that we can know his heart for us today. Will you pray with me? Father, we recognize even this morning just some of the weightiness of what comes from these words. There's temptation to have fear of many things in this life. Fear of not being accepted, fear of not having enough. All kinds of fears. But your own words were, your Father sees you, sees your needs this morning. Your Father is acquainted with where you are at. So you don't have to fear. For he will come and hold you. And his call is this: if you will acknowledge me before men, then I will acknowledge you before my Father. So I just want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. And you can do this now, this morning, whether this is your first time ever to do this, or whether you've done this 10,000 times. But in your heart, declare, Jesus Christ is my King and Savior and Lord of all. And I yield and I lay down to you my sin and my shame and guilt. And I give it to you fully in exchange for your righteousness and glory. I give you every broken place in me in exchange for your perfection. And we take this moment to just acknowledge and confess if there's anything that has been given a place in your heart to sit on the throne of your heart. You can offer it to him again. If there's a place of sin that feels like it has ravaged your heart, you can, even now as an act of worship, offer it to God to be covered, to be removed. You can be set free this morning. Here's my sin, O God. Search me and know me. Know all of my thoughts. I give them to you. It's my act of worship. It's my fears. even if you have the enemy whispering to you, even now, man, you've messed up too much. Your life is too messy. You've gone too far. Come up under the weight of the glory of what Christ has done for you. He's washed you, made you white as snow, given you hope and glory. So Jesus, now in your unfailing love, wash us in your perfection. Thank you. We ask again. We praise your glorious grace and mercy. And then will you do this? If there's anyone that you feel burdened for that does not know Jesus, that is far from God, has chosen their own way, would you just come to the Father and say, oh Lord, bring them to yourself. Invite them. Call them. Stir their heart to trust you. We give you these who are in need of you. We lay them before you. We know you care. We thank you for your radical message of love and mercy that you so freely give to all who will come. And we bless you and we thank you. We thank you for the good news. We've been ransomed and saved. We're no longer slaves to sin, but we've been given the gift of life and life to the full, everlasting with you. We receive that gift again. We thank you, God. We bless you. In your name we pray. Will you guys stand? We're going to close with our benediction. If there's any way we can be a blessing to you, we'd love to be able to do that. We'll have some prayer partners. If there's any way we can pray with you or encourage you, we'd love to do that. If you just need the mercy and the goodness of God to wash over you again, we're here for that. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Blessings, guys. Love you. We'll see you.